we respond in the wisdom of God, in that sense of devotion that we have towards that wisdom and it all. Listen to what one author writes. William Law says this, "This and this alone is Christianity, a universal holiness in every part of life, a heavenly wisdom in all our actions, not conforming to the spirit and temper of the world, but turning all worldly enjoyments into means of piety and devotion to God." Let me read that to you again. Listen to the words of this. William Law says, "This and this alone is Christianity, a universal holiness in every part of life, a heavenly wisdom in all our actions, not conforming to the spirit and temper of this world, but turning all worldly enjoyments into means of piety and devotion to our God." Wow. Francis Chan makes the statement here. He says, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." Isn't that profound? Let me read that to you again. "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." You know, when it boils down to it, when we really stop and think about all these things that we weigh in importance and in value in our lives, when we weigh that in the balances to the purpose and devotion to Christ, to our God, to wisdom, do they really have any sense of appeal to them at all? Do they really have any sense of value when it boils down to it? You know, that's what takes place in that sense of intimate relationship there. And as Paul writes in Colossians, he says, "If you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth, because your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ shall appear, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." It's this concept that as we continue to devote and surrender our lives to the Lord and His purpose and plan, the things of this world lose their appeal. The things of this world don't matter as much anymore. And I can tell you, Christians, that this world is looking at us, at you and I, and they can know the difference in it all. When there is a Christian who demonstrates nothing but an utter sense of devotion to God Himself, you stick out like a sore thumb in it all. People see it. People see that there's something you have that they don't. And we've all heard stories about those that have watched and observed, those that are so devout in their faith, and they've said, "I want that. I want what you've got." What a privilege we have in the midst of a hopeless situation possibly in our lives. What a privilege we have in a very desperate crisis that you and I face at some point in our lives, where we can declare the very hope of God in the midst of all of that. That there is a wisdom that is unparalleled, that is transcendent in it all. The rest of this world, in their subjective, narrow, closed-minded view, looks at it as foolishness. But it is the power of God, folks. I think to answer the question of how do we do this whole concept of devotion to wisdom, I think there's an element that is involved that you and I need to take out of the equation at times. And we know what that is. It's self. It's self. Oftentimes when we are faced with certain situations in our lives, just like I said in those prayers, there tends to be a consuming focus and attention towards self in it all. And what we need to do is remove ourselves. Oh, we can go on these poor pity parties for ourselves, can't we, at times? Oh, boo-hoo, Ethan, he's got this hardship he's facing. You know, he has to wake up and do this every morning. Poor Ethan, he's got it so rough. Well, we can talk ourselves till we're blue in the face and all of that, can't we? Boy, you get in those situations, you know you're not walking with the Lord then, don't you? When you're looking at yourself and seeing how bad you got it and how good everybody else has got it, and you want to just cry out and say, "Why, God?" God responds by saying, "Look at how good you've got it here. Look at what I've done for you. You know, for many of us, we have this perception in our minds, whether we want to admit it or not, that eternal salvation is not enough for us. Yeah, I'll take the hope of everlasting life in heaven with God, but I want to be well, good, and fed and taken care of while I'm here on this earth, God. And if you don't do that, then you're not a faithful God to me. That's how we sometimes think, isn't it? Folks, can I tell you that today, as you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the eternal provision that He has given you is enough, and that He is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise because of what He has done on that cross for you and I. Don't let that satanic influence breed itself inside your minds. It is in the pursuit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, in which all the counsel and character of God dwells, that we find wisdom. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him." That's a profound statement right there. Do you see that? We tend to think that we have so much more that we need to fulfill ourselves, to satisfy ourselves, to give us a sense of contentment or happiness or peace or joy. Guess what? Christ is our joy, our happiness. We are complete in Him. John writes in his first epistle, he says, "These things we write unto you that your joy may be" what? Full, complete, perfect in every way. The things that he was writing was validation and affirmation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He says, this is all you need, folks. But boy, we tend to think we need so much more, don't we? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, here's another verse for you, says, "As ye have received Jesus Christ as the Lord, so walk ye in Him." The truth of attaining wisdom is not found just in a desire for it, nor is it in a dedication to it, but it is in a complete devotion to the One from which it derives. Paul says again in Colossians, he says, walk in wisdom. Our faith, our confidence, may I say, in that regard, is not to be in the specialties or strengths of self in any particular man, but is in complete confidence in our God. Can I ask you this morning, Christian, do you have that sense of faith and confidence, trust in the Almighty God? As you look back upon your own life, I can look back upon mine, and it's a very vivid picture, mind you, of the providential hand of my God upon me. I don't see any lacking of His provision or His protection. I don't see any lacking of His presence in any moment in my life. I see an ever vivid ultimation of it all. We have that to supply us. We have the Word of God to supply us that affirms these promises, that affirms His presence, that affirms His provision and protection. Oh, what else do we need for the road ahead, Christian? What else do we need for the road ahead? We are complete in Him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. I often wonder here, as we look at this passage this morning, as we look at those who were the saints of God, these Jewish Christians, if you will, in this passage, who were facing persecution, who were facing attack, possibly from family members, friends, other brothers of their origin and ethnicity, or from the Roman Empire and the powers that were coming down upon them during that time. I wonder if maybe the whole reason why God was encouraging these ones to walk in this sense of wisdom, to be not wavering, to be not double-minded, is so that others could come to Christ as a result. I believe that God is not only just working in our lives to mold us and shape us and to prepare us, to use us in the given moment that we are in, to prepare us for the moments He has down the road for us, but He's working in our lives to affect others. To affect others. And may we affect them for good, for the glory of God. I encourage you, Christians, that if we as a body of believers, as a church, are desiring the wisdom of God, are dedicated and committed to the wisdom of God, are devoting our lives sincerely and genuinely and entirely to the wisdom of God, then we will see the work of God being done. We will. In our own personal lives, in our church, in our community, and abroad throughout this world. Are we committed? Do we desire that sense of wisdom? And folks, like I said, it's easy when everything's going good to be in that right walk with the Lord. Oh, I'm cruising along here. Well, when the rubber meets the road and those obstacles come, those difficulties we will face, no doubt, because they are guaranteed as part of life, folks. They are guaranteed. As I've said before, this life is not just this plane that we're walking across. It's rivers and valleys and mountains and hilltops. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's really, really bad. And the idea that as we get through one, that we're not going to face another is a delusion in itself. But God is working through all of that. God is transcendent in all. He's accomplishing His good for His purpose in our lives and to the furtherance of His kingdom. You look at your life maybe in the sense of the way Paul's life worked out. And that as he was bonded, he was enslaved, he was in prison to other individuals here. He used this as an occasion not to grumble and complain and express such disappointment and depression. He used it as an opportunity for the gospel to go forward, folks. Maybe we need to examine ourselves this morning. Where we are, who God has placed around us, what God is doing in the midst of our situation, and examine it in light of the wisdom of God that is imparted to us and not in light of our own pathetic idiosyncrasies, if you will. Our own selfish, inconsistent point of views. God is doing a work, folks. And as we see this world growing ever darker, it is, I believe, a greater opportunity for our lights to shine. It is. I've heard so many say that, oh, the Lord's return is coming back as we look at how bad things are getting. Lord, and yes, maybe it is. But maybe we're encroaching upon a day in which a great revival and a great awakening might break out again. And I'm hoping to God that that's the case. And guess what? In order for it to happen, it doesn't mean that thousands upon thousands are filling the pews and filling the fortresses of God's kingdom to be able to do the work. Although I would love to see that. But what it takes is Christians who are desiring the wisdom of God, who are committed to the wisdom of God, who are willing to walk fervently, devoted, without any sense of wavering in it all to the wisdom and work of our God. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know where you're at this morning, but are you looking for just a resolution to your worries? The answers to your problems? Are you looking to the fulfillment of your wants and desires? Or to God just meet you where you are in your own ways and that's okay? Or are you looking to see the work of God being done as you devote yourself to the very wisdom of God in your life? This hasn't been a gospel message necessarily here, but if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to do so. I trusted Christ as my Savior at the wicked age of 6. And I walked away from God at times, and I will tell you, I ran back to God at times. And I'm so thankful that as many times as I might leave and forsake my God, that He never leaves and forsakes me. And though I might run as far as I can to get in distance away from my God, all I have to do is do a 180 and turn, and there He is with open arms, ready to receive me back. Thank God for that. Thank God for the times in which we don't walk in the wisdom that He has given to us, that He still works mightily for our behalf and for His glory in the midst of it all. But Christians, if I can motivate you in that way, If I can encourage you in light of all of that, it should compel us then to ever further walk in the wisdom of God, to see the work of God being done in our lives through the circumstances that we face, rather than see more the what we most likely focus on is our own problems resolved. I don't know what God's doing in your life. In some ways, I don't know what God's doing in my life. There's these situations in my life that I'm facing, and I need God's wisdom for it. Most especially do we need to be lifting one another up in prayer during all of this. I know God can work, and He will work through those who are devoted to Him. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father,